Carol, you got this old brain of thinking, and I'm going to do something I have never done before. Turn with me to 264. Now, Pam, I'm not going to put this on you. I'm going to get them started. I don't want to make you have to lead something you're not ready for.
Oh, that's right. You want me up there?
Yes. Thank you. Never ask. Jill's going to play on the piney because you don't have to set all those stops to do that. But and the song He Lives that she just did so much ties into 264. I would like you to sing all three verses.
All three verses?
And then one chorus at the end.
Sorry. All right. All right, let's go ahead and stretch and stand up, please. I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that He is living, whatever man may say. I see His hand of mercy. I hear His voice of cheer. And just the time I need Him, He's always near. He lives, He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know He lives. He lives within my heart. In all the world around me, I see His loving care. And though my heart grows weary, I never will despair. I know that He is leading throughout the stormy blast. The day of His appearing will come at last. He lives, He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know He lives. He lives within my heart. Verse 3. Rejoice, rejoice, O Christian, lift up your voice and sing. Eternal hallelujahs to Jesus Christ the King, the hope of all who seek Him, the help of all who find that other is so loving, so good and kind. Ready? He lives, He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know He lives. Ready? He lives within my heart. Well done. Thank you.
I may never do that again, but I did it today. I just felt moved that we should do that, and it just fits in so well. We are going from the book of Ephesians, if you would. Turn with me to the fourth chapter, beginning with verse 17. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17 reads this way. So I tell you this, and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do in futility of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Dear God, bless us as we look into your word. And let us not be as the Gentiles do in their daily lives, but have loving and kind and sharing hearts, who appreciate what you've done for us through creation and sustaining us as people and as this nation. Bless us that we may serve you. Be with those who are sick, those who are recovering, those who are facing treatments, those who are needing to get well. Bless the families that serve them. Be with our men and women in the military who keep freedom and fight for this. Be with the missionaries in foreign seas that spread the gospel. be with all the first responders and those who take care of us. And Father, let us just show love because Jesus does live in our heart. I pray these things in his blessed name and amen. I tell you this. Jesus would have said it this way, verily, verily, which means truly, truly. Paul is pointing out a key issue here, something he wants us to understand. Now, had it been a movie, there would have been some dramatic strings would have been playing, maybe a little brass or some woodwinds been going back on to focus your attention on something that's important. But Paul insists a little bit better. He says, and I insist on it in the Lord. Now, Paul gave us the greatest amount of the writing of the New Testament. To do that, he had to be specially endowed by the Holy Spirit to give us what God wanted us to know. And now he's saying that this is so important that he insists on it in the Lord. That's a pretty strong suggestion. About the closest thing I could think of for us would be, do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God? Well, this is reversing. This says God told you to do it. We need to understand the importance of our assignment. And it is but one thing with a P.S. on the back of it. They asked Jesus, what is the most important of all the commandments? And what do you say? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. Now, a lot of times we get the part about loving God, but we forget about the neighbor. It's the neighbor that pulls in front of you on 41. Which gets your little, your horn honking arm ready to go, or your light blinking finger on the stick shift thing or whatever to ready to go. That's your neighbor. It's your neighbor that needs to be let in sometimes or needs some help, needs some encouragement and lifting up. Sometimes a phone call or a, I was going to say a postcard. Is there such a thing as a postcard anymore? Email. There we go. It's replaced the postcard or an email or a quick messenger. Sometimes it's just saying, hey guys, I've heard you've had it rough. Richard called down here to tell Joe or text him or whatever, tell Joe that my sister's sick. Would you ask the church to think about her and pray for her? And we should be happy to do that because that is a brother or a sister in Christ. And what a better calling is to get involved with somebody else's life in Christ. He says, I insist on it in the Lord that you must no longer live as Gentiles do. Now, very few of us have any of Abraham's DNA in our bodies. That would make us a Jewish descendant. Okay. But those of us who are Christians, who have had said the good confession, have been buried in the water grave of baptism, arrived to walk a new person. We are the adopted children and grandchildren of Abraham, of Isaac, of Jacob, brothers and sisters of Jesus Christ. So we can't be the definition here of Gentiles. What were the Gentiles? They were uncontrolled people. They did what they wanted to do, didn't care about laws. The only thing about laws is you just don't get caught. What's the thing the young teenage boys, preteen boys say? Do unto others and run. Do unto others first and don't get caught. That's the kind of attitude that a lot of people have. And we're not to be like these Gentiles. We have a governing society. It's called the family of God. You got to go with the Gaithers. I mean, sometimes they just nail it so strong and they get me fired up. We have to say, what would God want me to do? Some of you have probably had in the past, I know it was real popular in the 90s, WWJD. Remember the little WWJD books? It came from a book that was written in the late 1800s. And it was about what would Jesus do in a situation. It was a guy that worked in the rough part of Chicago. And they made it a pledge in their church not to do anything without asking, what would Jesus do in this situation? Well, folks, we might be in a good position in our own lives. We say, would Jesus do this? Would he approve of this? Would I be ashamed if he was watching me? and not be like the Gentiles who did what they wanted to, when they wanted to do it, to whomever they wanted to, and didn't work. It is sad to listen to news. Just this past week, when this very, very rich man has gone out and abducted or tricked or whatever these preteen girls for nothing but sexual pleasure and buys his way out of it, it seems. That's wrong. For those who are kidnapping and killing and all the things we see on the news, that's wrong. When we wish somebody harm, even if we don't take it to task, if we study in the Sunday school lesson today, that's wrong. And for Paul to call it not being like a Gentile, that's a pretty sharp accusation. We should do what Jesus would do and what God would approve of. That's what he's telling us here. We go on. The Gentiles, they are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of ignorance that is in them due to hardening of their hearts. I don't suggest it, but you may want to try this. About midnight tonight, get you a black piece of cloth and tie it around your eyes real tight. Don't hurt them. Tie them around. So it's dark, the lights are all off in the house, and you got a blindfold off on. And try living your life for a couple hours that way. Then when you get up in the morning, you clean up all the dishes that you broke and you pick all the food up that you spilt and you try to find the remote control for the television that you have no idea where it is. I've had some very good friends who were blind. Very good friends. And their life's tough. They have to make their life work, but it's hard because they can't see what we see. They can't. You can give them a description, but it's not visual there for them. Don't be like the Gentiles. Their eyes are darkened. They don't see. They don't care to see. So truth does not matter. We should be better than that. We must be better than that. We go on. They're blinded, darkened their understanding, and separated from the life of God. I left Thursday, Friday, Saturday morning, 6 o'clock. And though I had a cellular phone, and I called her every time the plane stopped, and I called her between meals, and I called her, let her know that I was up, even though it was 3 hours ahead of time, and behind some kind of time was 3 hours off in California. But I missed Becky. My conversation in chief person was gone. The person who cooks me Spam and scrambled eggs was gone. The one who understood my accent. Because everybody that in California does not talk the way I do. So they must be wrong, of course. Was not with me. And even though she had to wait in the cellular phone parking lot for 2 hours because the plane was late getting in because it went all over the world to miss that hurricane. Well, I'm fine with that. That shake, rattle, and roll is not a lot of fun on a plane. She was actually glad to see me. I think. That's what I'm going on. But I did not leave my heart in San Francisco, I can tell you that. Their ignorance, their hearts are hardened. There's no love, no attention, no connection. We've got to be that. We're a family. We're the family of God. And we've got to loosen up. If there's something that's in the way that's stopping us from sharing that love and compassion with somebody else, we've got to settle it and get rid of it. He said in the Sunday school lesson this morning, if you've got an issue against a brother or sister, and you're ready to give an offering to God, you got to put that down and go settle the issue so there's not any grief in your heart or anger in your heart. Anger and grief and suspicion and ill feelings can just destroy a life. There's a lot of characters in literature that are that way. We don't need to be a character in literature. We need to be a character in the heart of God. It's a lot better results. He said this, having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality to indulge every kind of impurity. They are full of greed. Did you ever sit your arm? Mine is when I sit my arm like this and I leave it there for a while. And after a while, I don't think there's any blood left. and it's numb. And you can't touch the finger. Is there fingers there or not? You have to look and see because the sensation is gone. If you've ever burned something, like burn a fingertip or something like that, or cut a nerve, and you know you're touching something, but you know what it is. It's the sensitivity is not there. Some of you have had sensitivity of light, to light. When Becky had her cataracts done, or her Cadillacs put in, whatever you call it, she had to wear like smoke-filled glasses just to keep the sun out for a while because it was so strong. We need to be sensitive to the needs around us. Not just to our own self and doing what we choose to do and pleasing ourselves, but care for others. One of the first church jokes I ever heard, and it was just as bad now as it was then, was in about the fourth grade. Little boy was going to Sunday school one day, and his mother sent him and gave him 2 quarters. Now you go put this in the offering during Sunday school class, and on the way home you can use this one to buy a dip of ice cream. Well, he's happy, and he's marching. And he bumped and tripped, and he fell, and the quarter went right down the city sewer drain. Well, God, there goes your quarter today. That is bad, but, you know, I remember it for 60 years. I can't let it go. Sometimes we just don't hold what's important. I think that little 79-cent thing represents a tremendous amount of heart and love from this congregation. The hundreds upon even, it goes up into thousands of dollars that we collected and donated and was matched, showed that we care about a woman who's expecting a baby, didn't expect to be in that condition, and needs help. And we are supporting a group of people who go out and find them help and get them help. That's sensitivity, not even to ourselves, but to others. And most of you all in here are not at all ashamed to give somebody a handshake and how you doing, glad to see you today. Hope everything's going fine. That's sensitivity because we care about others. And we need to get in that direction very quickly. I had about 5 or 6, 7 meals with 2 other clergymen that are on the National Clergy Commission committee like I was. And we got to talking, one's from Tennessee and one's from Philadelphia. We agreed how bad all this world is getting. How so far away from normalcy, whatever normalcy is, we are. The things that should be shameful, you pay money to go to the movie to see or you get on your television. The words that your grandparents would have shuddered at, if they even knew what they meant. I don't know what my grandparents knew what things meant, and I wasn't going to be the one to introduce them to them, though I didn't know them either, are said and sung and spoken and on television and all these things. We're getting farther and farther away from God because we don't think we're responsible to Him anymore. We're caring less and less about our neighbors when we should be more and more concerned of what's going on. Paul said that's the darkness that comes from selfishness. That we think people just want to do what they want to do and for nothing else. And there are a lot of people that aren't happy today. Have you ever noticed that? They're not happy. You compliment and say, love your dress. Oh, it's just old rag I found in the back of the closet. Ladies, don't be that way. Guys, you don't wear dresses, so that's okay. But we just need to be more suited to be friendly so that dogs and little children don't run away from you. They're pretty good judges, you know. Full of greed and impurity. That, however, is not the way of life you've learned. When you heard about Christ, you were taught in Him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. When you learn about Jesus, we learn about His truth. What is truth? God is love. I think the song goes from church camp or preschool VBS. Love Him, love you, Him, all you little children. God is love. God is love. Do we believe that? That we are loved? Even if all your friends disagree with you or turn their back on you because of the stand you've taken, but God is love? even when you can't accomplish what you would like to accomplish because you've been frozen out because of what you believe and what you put in use, but God is love, we need not to worry about what other people think. Because I'm going to tell you, I've read this in a book once or twice, but there's a day coming. If I knew when it was, I'd write a book and be rich. There's a day coming. When is the book of Acts says, chapter 1, this same Jesus that rode into heaven shall come back, not as a baby, but as a warrior champion, to reach and grab all of his. Those who are living will go up. Those who are dead, the sea shall give up the dead. The earth shall give up the souls. And they shall meet him. And they'll come up and we'll come up. And there'll be a big chair in him and a throne. Let's use the a throne. And on front of the throne comes a river of life that comes out. And on his right hand sits Jesus, our advocate. And that'll be the judgment day. And it will not matter what your neighbor thought about you bad because you wouldn't go golfing on Sunday with him or you wouldn't go drinking or whatever it is that people don't like you for. That you wouldn't stay around with bad jokes. Doesn't matter. Pick a term. It doesn't matter because God won't care what they thought. Did you love my son? Did you have love for the people around you, even if they did not love you back? Did you have compassion and concern? Were you obedient? Peter told him in Acts chapter 2, 38 and following. Repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of sins. And you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Did you take action on that? Those are the questions we're going to get. Not about, did you make the Maypole queen or something? Or were you the class president in high school? And all these kind of things. They didn't matter anymore. But we get so worked up now. My grandfather had a term. Now, my grandfather was born in 1890. So he lived, raised six kids through the Depression. Papa so-and-so got a new tractor. I can't keep up with the Joneses. I can't even keep up with you. And on and on and on. Anything you can compare me to. Oh, I can't keep up with the Joneses. His car needed a paint job. He went down to the hardware store, got a quart of paint and a brush and painted his car purple. But it suited him. Are you willing to be concerned about God's commandments and them first? Yes, we should love our brothers and sisters, absolutely, positively. But not to the point of impressing them, but the point of being an obedient servant to God. And that's what Paul is trying to tell us. Find what's important and do it. You will not, I will promise you, you will not be the most popular person in the world. You will probably never make a high elected office. More than likely, you will not be one of the 20 people running for president of one of the parties. I won't mention which one it is. They lost one in game one this week, so it's still 20. Easy to keep up with. No, but you know what? I think we can do pretty well other than those things, don't you know? Because I believe I smile a whole lot more and laugh a lot better than what some of those people are doing. What was that song? Maybe in the early 70s, or maybe, yeah, early 70s. Don't worry, be happy. If you are in Jesus, you have the right to be happy. You don't need to worry because he's taking care of it. The debts are paid. And we can let go of all the burdens that we put upon ourselves. I was sinking deep in sin. What's the next line? Far from the distant shore. Love lifted me. Now, I'm not talking about I got 6 minutes. We can do this. We're going to get done on it. We got supper. I was thinking, love lifted me. I'm not talking about one of those little red candy heart boxes, you know, that you forgot to get this year. Becky became a diabetic. I was really off the hook because they don't make any pretty diabetic candy until Norman Love made it expensive. It doesn't mean a Valentine. Doesn't mean going out writing in the snow or taking pebbles on the beach. It means the love of God that he sent his one and only son. that whomsoever believeth and obey and have obedience in him, and I'm going to put that in there because it's everywhere else in the Bible, has obedience in Christ shall not perish but have everlasting life. My goodness. That's better than a check on Christmas Day. That's better than a rebate from a huge. Better than anything we can think of. Brownies, warm brownies with ladies, if y'all didn't know it, I like warm brownies with chocolate icing. Chocolate icing. I don't mind the white powder, but the chocolate, it's almost as good as pie. Some days better. Get rid of your old self. Put away the former ways, which is corrupted and deceitful. You ever had an infection? It had to be drained, or it had to be cut away and debrided and that kind of stuff. You get rid of the poison that's in your body so your body can heal. We need to get rid of the poison in our soul so our soul can heal, be successful in serving others. And to put on a new self, I like this one. I've told y'all this before. Every Sunday morning, because I live with my grandmother next door to my house, she had Gospel Jubilee come on. And this lady with a beehive about 7 foot tall and hands that reached up like this. Who? Vestal Goodman. And she'd start coming Jubilee. Then she had a song I like. On that resurrection morning, when the saints in Christ arise, I'll have a new body. 6'4", blonde, six pack. That's what I'm asking for. Have to put an addition on the robe so it'll reach my. Oh, I got physically frisked twice at the airport. Went through the machine, nothing went off. This is all serious. So the guy comes and says, take your coat off. So I take my coat off. He goes to my arm and like that, reach around my arm. I said, what's the matter? He said, well, you have bigger biceps than you should. We thought maybe you'd wrap some kind of rope or wire around them for a weapon. No, sir, there was concrete blocks when I was 16. That's why I did it. He didn't think that was as funny as I did. I got my mouth shut after that one. We'll have a new body. It'll be one in Christ, and all the arthritis and everything that's gone wrong with us and the things we hate and all the impurities and why we hurt is gone. I kind of like that idea. Therefore, each of you must put off the falsehoods and speak truth for your true neighbor, as we all members of one body. And in your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down when you're still angry. Do not give the devil a foothold. How about that? If you're mad all the time, the devil's got a way because he's going to bring in hate and meanness or retribution to you. Anyone is stealing must not steal anymore, but work. Do something useful with your hands. They have been something to share those in need. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs. They may benefit those who listen. People listen the way you talk. What you say, the terms you use, the phrases, and they'll judge you by that very quickly. Be careful about that, he said. Do not, this is a tremendous word. It sounds like your grandmother's writing it. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God with whom you are sealed on the day of redemption. How can we grieve the Holy Spirit? By going contrary to what God wants us to do. Repent and be baptized, forgiveness of sins, and the gift of the Holy Spirit. Those of us who have been baptized in the watery grave of baptism, arise to walk anew, have the Holy Spirit in us. It is a third part of the Trinity. And he's there to help us and to guide us and to speak to us and sometimes to speak for us. So don't hurt him. Worst thing in the world, I honestly think in my life growing up, was to hurt my grandparents' feelings. My parents would get over it after they quit beating me. But my grandparents... Oh, child, you just grieve me to the heart. I'm thinking, please shoot me or something. I can't do that. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit. Don't go contrary to him. Let him work within us. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, slander, every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as in Christ forgave you. Ta-da! It is that simple. You forgive others and love them. God is because Christ has forgiven us through the cross and loved us. Doesn't take a PhD to understand that. You know what it takes to understand that? L-O-V-E. That's right. Love. It takes a little L-O-V-E to understand that. It's not that complicated. Jesus made it that way for us. You've got a decision to make for the Lord. We give you that opportunity as we stand right now. Pam comes up and leads us in number 478. I wrote it on my hand in green magic marker. 478.
Lord, I'm coming home, 478. Let's do the first and last, so 1 and 4. I've wandered far away from God. Now I'm coming home. The paths of sin too long I've trod. Lord, I'm coming home, coming home, coming home. Never more to roam. Open wide thine arms of love. Lord, I'm coming home. My soul is sick, my heart is sore. Now I'm coming home. My strength renew, my hope restore. Lord, I'm coming home. Coming home, coming home. Never.
Be with us as we get together for our food, our fellowship time. Let us share and be with those who prepared for us and serve us. May we always be your children. I pray these things in Jesus' name and amen.